Parshas Va'era, good chodesh to everybody, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Rosh Teves, Sheyeh, Besurais Toivois, Amitz Hashem, for us and for all of Klal Yisrael. We would like to discuss Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, what is really the main topic in this week's parasha, and that is, of course, the inyan of the Eser Makkos. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, Re'ei Nesaticho Elohim, I have made you into an Elohim, Leparoi. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Shofet V'Roide, B'Makos V'Yisurin. I'm hereby appointing you to administer judgment and punishment. This is the introduction to the Eser Makkos. And L'Choira, the simple understanding would be that the purpose of the Eser Makkos was to be inflicted on Paroi and Mitzrayim in order to persuade them or perhaps even force them to release Klal Yisrael. The Briskerov learns that's not the case. The purpose of the Eser Makkos was not as a mechanism to force Paroi and Mitzrayim to release Klal Yisrael. Rather, the Briskerov explains, if you turn back the clock to Parashas Lech Lecha, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu foretells Avraham Avinu in the Bris Bein Apsorim that there's going to be a Golus. Be'eretz asher lo Elohim, in a foreign land, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'gam es ha-goy asher yovoidu, the nation that will enslave you, don onoichi, I will judge, in other words, I will punish. So there was a promise which dates all the way back, hundreds of years prior to this event, all the way back to the Bris Bein Apsorim, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avraham Avinu, not only will there be a Golos and a Geula, but the Games HaGoy Asher Yovoidu Don Onoichi, they will be judged, they will be punished. Says the Briskerov, that is the purpose you see from the Psukim of the Eser Makkos. The Eser Makkos is not a Hechatimtza, is not a way of forcing Mitzrayim to release Klal Yisrael, but rather this is a fulfillment of the promise of Don Onoichi. And in fact, the Briskerov sends us to a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Idyos says quite clearly that the 12 months is the length of period it took for all the Eser Makkos. Why is that? Because a Mishpat is always for 12 months. Just like when somebody, Rachmana Litzlan, passes away, he has a mishpat in Olam Haba for 12 months. So you see, once again, says the Briskerov, that this is the function of the Eser Makkos. The Eser Makkos is all about the mishpat, the oinesh for the Mitzrayim. The Briskerov does not point out, but l'chayra, this is an obvious addition to his chiddush, because as we know, the Eser Makkos were all Mido Keneged Mido. The Dam, the Tzvardea, the Kinim, at every stage, Chazal tell us that it was all Mido Keneged Mido. And obviously that only makes sense if indeed they were administered as a punishment, as an Oinish for the Mitzrayim. The truth of the matter is that the Chiddush of the Briskerov is a Mufurash Rashi. It's a Mufurash Rashi, because on that very posuk in the Bris Bein Apsorim, on the posuk of Don Onoichi, says Rashi two words, Eser Makkos. Eser Makkos. So you see quite clearly in Rashi, and there are other Mufurashim that say the same, Rabbeinu Bachai and the Tosfos Yom Tov say quite clearly that Don Onoichi, they will be judged, they will be punished. How so? With the Eser Makkos. So we are learning over here, the Briskerov explains to us, but as we pointed out, it's really explicit in Rashi, that the function of the Eser Makkos is not as a way of forcing Mitzrayim, Paroi, to release Klal Yisrael, but rather it is a fulfillment of the promise, Don Onoichi. The Mitzrayim should not get away with this scot-free. Rather, they must be punished, and indeed they were. How so? With the Esem Makris. I would like to ask what I think is a fundamental question. If indeed Don Onoichi is the Esem Makris, and it's a form of punishment for the Mitzrayim, why must that be included in the Bris Bein Habsorim? Why must HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Avram about the Oynosh that the Mitzrayim are going to get? That L'chaira is totally irrelevant to Klal Yisrael. This is a very crucial question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu surely could have told Avram Avinu, there's going to be a Golos, there will eventually be a Geula. Why is it relevant for Avram Avinu or Klal Yisrael to know that, by the way, the Mitzrayim will also be punished? Fine, they'll be punished. What's that got to do with us? Why is this included in the Bris Bein Habsorim? This is our first question of tonight. I'd like to ask another question. If indeed the Esem Makos is a punishment for the Mitzrayim, not, however, just a mechanism to force them to release Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, why is it critical that the Esem Makos has to happen before the Geula? Why can't HaKadosh Baruch Hu take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim and then we'll deal with the unfinished business of punishing the Mitzrayim? So these are two very critical questions which I think is going to help us look at the Esem Makos in a brand new light. Question number one, why do the Esem Makos, the punishment for the Mitzrayim, why must they be mentioned at all in the Bris Bein Habsorim? Why are they relevant to Klal Yisrael? And question number two is, why do they in fact indeed have to take place before the Geula? And I think it's obvious, therefore, that these two questions really answer each other. Apparently, and this is what we have to explain, the Esem Makos, the punishment to the Mitzrayim, is the prelude to the Geula. And you cannot have a Geula without it. And that would obviously answer both our questions. That's why it must be mentioned in the Bris Bein Habsorim, because it is indeed an integral part of the Geula. And that's why it must take place, in fact, before the Geula, because without it, you cannot have a Geula. And this is clearly something that we must explain. Why are the Esem Makos so crucial? Why is this Mishpat, the Oynesh to the Mitzrayim, why is that an integral part of the Geula and the Bris Bein Habsorim? What is their relevance to Klal Yisrael? Let us ask, if we can, one more question. We have mentioned in previous years the very important Rabbeinu Avraham ben Hagro. The Vilna Goyen's son explained the Esem Makos in a seemingly different manner completely. And Rabbeinu Avraham ben Hagro, this is, by the way, if anybody wants to see this, this is printed in the Siddur Hagro on the bracha that we say every day, Al HaTzadikim, and how do we conclude? Baruch Ato Hashem, Mishon Umivtoch LaTzadikim. What does that mean, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is both the Mishon and the Mivtoch? What is a Mishon and what is a Mivtoch? So, the son of the Vilna Goyen, Rabbi Avraham ben Hagro, shares with us a very, very important yesod. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Geula. He promises, he makes a Havtocha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shomer after Chose. That's the Mivtoch. He brings a fulfillment to the promise. But there is something that happens before the Mivtoch, and that is the Mishon. Something for you to rely on, so that you shouldn't lose your Bitochin. K'moy Shemotzinu B'Mitzrayim. Just like we find in Mitzrayim, before the Geula, that was the Mivtoch, that was the fulfillment of the promise made at the Bris Bein Habsorim, but the prior stage is the Mishon. Mishon means to rely on, lehisho'en. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Klal Yisrael a number of nisim, meaning the Eser Makos, prior to the Geula. That means even before the Mivtach, there was a Mishon. There was a Mishon. He says as another example, in the Purim story, even before the eventual Geula, Haman has to parade Mordechai around the town. That's the Mishon. That's something for us to lean on, as he writes, Lesa'ed oisom bebitchoinam, in order to assist their bitochin. So Rav Avraham ben Agro seems to be teaching us something else completely. That the function of the Eser Makos was to be as a support, something for Klal Yisrael to hold onto before the eventual Geula arrived. And our third question, therefore, is, how does that fit with what the Briskerov explained? And we said it's a Mufurash Rashi, that actually the Eser Makos was something else completely. The Inyan of the Eser Makos was as a mishpot, as an oinesh for the Mitzrayim. It was the Don Onoichi. So which one is it? Is the Eser Makos all about an oinesh for Mitzrayim? Or is it all about a chizuk for the bitochen of Klal Yisrael? These are our three questions that we'd like to look at. Number one, why does the mishpot, the oinash of the Mitzrayim, have to be mentioned in the Bris Ben Abasorim? Why is it relevant to us? Number two, why does it have to happen before the Geula? And number three, how does this fit in with what Rav Avraham ben Agro is teaching us, that the Makos was all about a chizukin bitochin before the prior to the Geula? So let's examine further in depth, what did Rav Avraham ben Agro mean? What does that mean? There's a mishon, there's a support before the bitochin. So one could learn, just like we know, for example, with Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik is being driven down to Mitzrayim, and all of a sudden, as Rashi explains, there he is on the wagon with the Arabs, and he finds there pleasant-smelling besomim. Very uncharacteristic, says Rashi, of Arabs to have this type of fragrance on their wagon. What was the purpose? Is this anyway a compensation for Yosef HaTzadik, who's now entering Golos, being cut off from his father, from his family? So the Mefarshim explain, the Balei Musa, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz and others, no, it was not a compensation. But in Yosef HaTzadik's hour of darkness, when it seems to be Yiyush all around, Kaviyochel, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Sholem has abandoned Yosef HaTzadik, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a Ha'oras Ponim. I have not abandoned you. Here I am, just as a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you every step of the way. And that's why he sent the Besomim. And L'chaira, that's what Rav Avraham ben Agro means as well. We have the Mishon before the Mivtach, before the Geula eventually arrives, when a person might be feeling down, a person might be feeling despondent and in despair, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, raises his spirits by sending these besomim. That is the mishon before the miftach. That would l'chaira be the simple pshat. We have in the past mentioned a very important story with the Rudzina Rebbe. When somebody came into the Rudzina Rebbe to ask him for a bracha, I'm in a very difficult situation and I need a yeshua. So the Rebbe indeed gave him a bracha and he said, the Eibishter vet help, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. A wonderful bracha, a guarantee from the Rebbe, the Eibishter vet help, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. He emerged from the Rebbe and the Gabbai of the Rebbe, who is in fact the Rebbe's son, asked him, no, what bracha did you receive from the Rebbe? And he said, Baruch Hashem, I got a wonderful bracha, the Eibishter vet helfen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. The Rebbe said, I think you better go back. The Gabbai said, I think you better go back into the Rebbe. Why? What could be a better bracha than that? The Eibishter vet helfen. So he says, that's fine, but what's going to be until HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps? Vos geht sein bis the Rebbeinu Shel Olam vet helfen. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eventually going to help, but what's going to be until then? So he turned around, he went back into the Rebbe and he said, Yasher Koyach for the Brocha, the Eibishter vet helfen, but what's going to be until then? Upon which the Rebbe responded, the Eibishter vet helfen, biz the Eibishter vet helfen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help until HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. And as I've seen this story recorded in a number of Sforim, he pointed out that this is in fact Mufurish in the Torah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised various promises to Yaakov Avinu, and eventually he says, but don't worry, Ki loy e'ezovcho, I'm not going to abandon you ad asher imosisi es asher dibarati loch, until such point that I fulfill everything I've promised to you. In other words, even though the Yeshua will not come immediately, the promise will not be fulfilled straight away, but ad asher imosisi, until that point, the Eibishter vet helfen, biz the Eibishter vet helfen. What does that mean? L'choyre, once again, it's like the besomim of Yosef HaTzadik, that even though Yosef was not zeicha to the geula immediately, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you that mission, will give you that support, not to be misyaish, not to be in despair. L'choyre, that's what the Rebbe Avraham ben Agron meant. But I'd like to suggest, if I may, that actually there is a far more profound meaning in what Rebbe Avraham ben Agron meant, in what the Besomim meant, and what did the Rezina Rebbe meant. And let us ask, really, the most important question of all. Why was there a Bris ben Absarim at all? Why is it important to know that one day there'll be a Golos, and then there'll be a Geula? Why must Avraham Avinu be informed of upcoming news? Of what relevance is it for Avraham Avinu to know that his descendants, and then this was passed down to Yitzchak, and then to Yaakov, Chazal said that Yaakov also knew about this. Why, what is the whole inyan of the Bris Bein Abasarim? Why must HaKadosh Baruch Hu inform Avraham Avinu that your descendants are going to find themselves in Golos, and then there's going to be a Don Onoichi, and then there's going to be a Geula? And here we arrive at a very, very important yesod. And this yesod is, it's a Chazal, Sheloi Nigalu Avoseinu Mimitzrayim. Klal Yisrael were only ever released from Mitzrayim Elo Bizachus Emuno Sheheminu. It was all in the Zachus of the Emuno. Rabbeinu Bachai says the same thing, Bizachus Habitochain Nigalu Yisrael Mimitzrayim. We are learning that Klal Yisrael's ticket out of Mitzrayim was one word, Emunah, or Bitochin. And in fact, in our very parasha, in Parashas Va'era, we know there are the four Lashonos of the Geula, V'Hitzesi, V'Lokachti, V'Goalti, etc. And then the Torah writes, V'Yedatem Ki Ani Hashem Elokeichem, HaMoitzi Eschem Itachai Sivlois Mitzrayim. Says the Sfarnu there, phenomenal words. Think about the V'Hoitzesi. Think about the V'Goalti, and the V'Lokachti, and the V'Hitzalti. And if you believe in it, then you will be Re'u for the Geula. In other words, the Geula was not guaranteed. It is contingent, it is dependent on whether Klal Yisrael believe in the Geula. The Zechus to have a Geula depends on your bitochen that in fact there will be a Geula. And this is explained in the most phenomenal shtickle of Rabbi Yerucham, the Mira Mashkiach. And he says, this is the derech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he makes a promise and he deliberately does not fulfill it straight away. Why? Because hachefetz v'hatachlis, the whole purpose of the promise in the first place, ki'im, there was only one purpose, La'amin b'havtachosei. Do you know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu there would be a geula? In order for Avraham Avinu to have bitochin in the geula. Because if there's no bitochin, then in fact there won't be a geula. And Rabbi Yerucham writes, V'lameidin mizeh ikar godol. We learn from over here a tremendous lesson in the hanhog of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is first mavtiach, but the fulfillment does not come immediately. The purpose of the Haftocha was that you should have bitochin, that in fact the Haftocha will come true, and that, and only that, will then ensure that there will be a geula. And then he writes the following quite staggering line. Kiloy yitochein la'odom. It is impossible for a human being, lizkois b'shumdavo, to be zeicha to anything, absolutely anything, is impossible to ever achieve, ki'im, unless, acharei habitochein. A quite remarkable line. There is no such thing as a freebie. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises this Yeshua and this Bracha, it will only be fulfilled if indeed there is bitochin that the promise will be fulfilled. There will be a Yeshua. If you have bitochin, there will be a Yeshua. And Rabbi Yerucham quotes his Rebbe. His Rebbe is the Alter from Kelm. The Alter from Kelm asked, why in last week's parasha did Moshe Rabbeinu come to Paroi? But only after he'd first addressed Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Klal Yisrael, performs the miracles, Vayamein Ha'om, he tells them, I'm now going to speak to Paroi, and indeed he does. Shouldn't the order be reversed? Why raise Klal Yisrael's hopes before you've actually spoken to Paroi? Surely he should have spoken to Paroi, and then he would have reported back to Klal Yisrael the good news. Says the Alter from Kelm, a remarkable explanation, because if you want to have any chance of Hatzlocha with Paroi, then there first has to have emuna ubitochin on the part of Klal Yisrael. There's no point in going to Paroi and then coming back to Klal Yisrael. To the contrary, Klal Yisrael first had to believe, Vaya'amein ha'om. Ah, you have emuna and bitochin. Now I can go to Paroi. Now there can be a geula. Do you know why? Because you have bitochin in the geula. It's the most phenomenal yesod of Rabbi Yerucham. It's an altogether different look at the whole inyan of bitochin, but as he himself writes, this is the seder of geula. This is the way that geula always unfolds. There's a haftocha. There's therefore emuna and bitochin in the haftocha, and then, and only then, a fulfillment of the haftocha. And if that's the case, I believe that that's really the profound meaning of Rabbi Avraham ben Hagro. The mishon before the mivtoch is not merely an inyan of cheering up the despondent person. The one who needs his spirits raised, he's in despair, so we'll show him a ha'oras ponim. No, it's far deeper than that. Because if a person becomes despondent and he loses a bitochen, and he begins to give up hope that there will ever be a geula, well then in fact, there cannot be a geula. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending the mishon, not just to cheer him up, not just to remind him, I'm with you, don't despair. But if you look at the words of Rabbi Avraham ben Hagro, he says it. Shaloi yoivdu bitchoinom. That's the inyan. It's not to be mesameach them, to cheer them up. There is a big risk, says Rabbi Avraham ben Hagro, that Klal Yisrael are 200 years in Mitzrayim. It all looks very bleak. The Mitzrayim seem to be getting the better of us. There's no rhyme or reason. Nothing seems to make sense. we're losing hope. Well, if you lose hope in the Geula, then in fact there cannot be a Geula. Because as we said from Rabbi Rucham, you cannot be zeicha to a Geula unless you have bitochin in the Geula. That's the mission. That was the Eser Makos. The Eser Makos was not just as a chizuk, but rather is in order to strengthen their bitochin in the Geula so that in fact the Geula can happen. And that is indeed the precise function of the Besomim for Yosef as well. The Indian of the Besomim was not just he should have a nice fragrance, it should be a pleasant smell as a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here to cheer him up, but rather Yosef HaTzadik, it all looks very dark. Don't despair, don't give up that there'll be a Geula. Don't think that the Yeshua can't come, because if indeed you despair, then the Yeshua cannot come. So I'm sending you a Besomim as a reminder that I'm still with you, as a chizuk for your bitochin, believe that the Geula can come, and then indeed it come. And I think that's therefore what the Radzina Rebbe meant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help until HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. Not, don't despair, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ensure that he cheers you up. But even if the Yeshua, the Eibishter Vet Helfen, it's true, but not necessarily immediately. So what will you do until then? Give up hope? But if you give up hope, then indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vet Nisht Helfen, he won't help. That was Rabbi Yerucham's Yesod. That if you don't have Bitochen in the Yeshua, there will be no Yeshua. And if this is true, may I suggest that this is exactly what the Brisker Rav meant all along. We asked a question before. The Brisker Rav said that the Eser Makos was about the Mishpat, the Don Anochi for the Mitzrayim. We said, how does that fit in with Rav Avraham ben Agra, who said it's something else completely? It's a chizuk for the Bitochin. And I believe that it's all one. Klal Yisrael are losing their bitochin. And they're thinking to themselves, it would seem to be less din, the less dayon. There is no judgment and there is no judge. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the Don Onoichi, the punishment to the Mitzrayim, to show them yesh din, the yesh dayon. The Chazon Ish, Moron HaChazon Ish, explains that what is Bitochin? It's three words. Ein Mikre Bo'olam. That's what Bitochin is. Nothing is by chance. Everything is organized. Everything has consequences. There's a program. So if you're thinking in Mitzrayim, less din, the less dayon, we're losing our Bitochin. The Mitzrayim seem to be trampling Vayomoruis, Chayeyem Bavoida Kosha. Where are they getting their just desserts? It doesn't make any sense. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the Eser Makos as a Mishpat, as an Oynesh for the Mitzrayim, precisely in order to be Mechazek their Bitochin. That is the mission before the Miftach. And therefore, there's no contradiction whatsoever. Is the Eser Makos all about a chizuk to their bitochin? Or is the Eser Makos all about a mishpat to the Mitzrayim? And the answer is, that's the same thing. The mishpat to the Mitzrayim, the punishment to the Goyim, was a reminder to Klal Yisrael that Ein Mikra Ba'olam. Therefore, don't lose your bitochin. This is the mission before the Miftach. And if that's the case, I think we have now answered all our questions. Didn't we ask before, why is the Oynesh of the Mitzrayim mentioned at all in the Bris Bein Abesorim? Why is this relevant to us? Now we understand. It's very relevant. Because it was precisely the Oynesh for the Mitzrayim that allows the Geula to happen. How so? That is the mishon before the miftach. That is the chizuk to the bitochen of Klal Yisrael. And that's why we asked another question. Why did the Esem Makkos have to happen before the Geula? The answer is because without it, there wouldn't be a Geula. Because if there would be no Esem Makkos, no punishment to the Mitzrayim, then Klal Yisrael would lose their bitochen. Less din, the less dayon. Nobody seems to have to be answerable for their actions. It's all a mikre. Well, if you lose your bitochen, then there won't be a geula. So the don onoichi, the eser makos, the mishpot for the Mitzrayim, is in fact the mishon, is the chizuk for bitochen for the Mitzrayim. May I just add what I believe is a dovo niflo. And this occurred to me while davening Shachris just yesterday morning. According to what we've explained, it's a three-stage process. Stage one, a mishpot for the Rishoyim. Stage two, the bitochin. And stage three, the geula. So while davening Shmoyne Esra yesterday, I suddenly understood those are the three brachas. V'lamalshinim, ala tzadikim, v'lirushalayim ircha, in succession. The Lamalshinim is all about the Rishoyim, the Cholarisha Kerega Toivet, the Mishpot for the Rishoyim. That's the Don Onoichi. Then comes the Broch of Ala Tzadikim, which is all about Bitochin. Now that there's been a Mishpot to the Goyim, there's Bitochin. And now you can daven for Yerushalayim Ircha, that there could be a Geula. So the exact Seder of Geula in Mitzrayim, the Esem Makkos, followed by the bitochin, followed by the geula, is absolutely reflected in the tefillah we daven every day. V'lamalshinim is the mishpat for the rishoyim. Ala tzadikim, the next brocha, is the chizukin bitochin, mishon u'miftoch la tzadikim, and then we can daven v'lirushalayim ircho, es tzemach dovid, v'sechezeno einenu, etc., etc. This, of course, is a tremendous lesson for us, because every person has his tzara, every person has his galus, and he has to believe that if there's any chance there will be a geula, it is dependent on his belief in his emuna and bitochin that in fact there will be a geula. If there's no ala tzadikim, then there's no v'lirushalayim ircha. If there's no bitochin, there is no geula. And that's in fact what we're davening every day. I'm davening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help me with my bitochin. What does that mean, help me? Send me the mishon. Send me those besomim. Show me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help until he will help. Because if I don't firmly believe that, then indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not help. Because lo nigalu avoseinu mimitzrayim elo bezuchus hu emuna hu habitochin. Let me just conclude with the following story. This is a very moving story, which in fact I heard from the Baal HaMaisa himself. Those of you who live here in Bet Shemesh might remember a very dear member of the Groh Shul. Unfortunately, he's no longer alive. He used to daven there in the shul. His name was Mr. Shmuel Stimler. Mr. Shmuel Stimler was a Holocaust survivor, if I'm not mistaken. He was in the camps in Auschwitz, and on one Tisha B'Av they asked him to speak in the shul, and he described some of his war experiences. After he finished his talk, I went up to him, Reb Shmuel. I said, I'm from London, there's a family Stimler there, are you any relation? He didn't think so. And then he told me the following remarkable thing. I was originally from Poland, he said, and I was snatched away from my family by the Nazis, Yimach Shemom. I couldn't take much with me, but I took three things. This is what he told me. A small amount of money, a few family pictures, just to be able to keep the memory alive of my parents and siblings, and most precious of all, he told me, a pair of tefillin. They were very, very choviv to me, and I was makbid every day to put on tefillin. I then got taken to the camps, I believe it was Auschwitz, and he said, to my despair, they stripped me of everything. They took away the money I had. More painful, they took away my family pictures, but most painful of all, they took away my tefillin. In fact, they took away all my clothes. And they gave me to wear those very famous, infamous, striped trousers and jacket. That will be your clothes. He says, I put on the trousers, and then I put on the jacket. And as I put on the jacket, he said, I felt in the pocket there was something there. And I didn't dare put my hand in the pocket in front of the Nazis. But afterwards I found a quiet moment in a quiet corner. I slipped my hand into the pocket and I took out what was inside. What was it? A tefillin shel rosh. He told me this was very moving. On the one hand, he knew obviously this tefillin shel rosh had clearly belonged to a previous inmate who is now in Olam HaEmes. He told me with a smile, he said, Ich gedenk noch. I still remember there was a whole halachic discussion what brocha to make on the tefillin when you only have one, a tefillin shel rosh. Even in Auschwitz, the Eibishter vet helfen, biz the Eibishter vet helfen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always sends besomim. Even in the darkest moments, even on Gehenim on earth, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us that mishon, sometimes in the form of a tefillin shel rosh. Don't give up. If you don't believe there will be a geula, then there cannot be a geula. The Nazis will also have to face Adon Onoichi. There's no such thing as mikre, less din v'less dayin. Ein mikre ba'olam. And indeed we can say about our dear friend Reb Shmuel, he clearly did not give up hope. And he remained steadfast in his bitochen, and indeed he was zeicher to a geula. And he survived the camps and he set up a whole mishpocha l'tiferes in America until eventually he retired and then passed away here by Artzeinu HaKadosha. That is the story of Klal Yisrael. That tefillin shel rosh, the besomim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help until he will help. That's the whole purpose of the Eser Makos. It's that mishon before the mivtoch. Not just as a chizuk, not just to raise our spirits, but in order to ensure that we never lose our bitochen. Because if we lose our bitochen in the geula, then indeed there cannot be a geula. So just like Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, bizchus o emuna, imitz Hashem, so too we also will daven every day, v'sein chalkeinu imoyim lo'olam, mishon o miftoch latzadikim, and then we will also see a kiyum of the tefillah, v'lirusholayim ircho, berachamim toshuv, may indeed it be b'mheira, b'yomeinu, amen.
Sure.